नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी वर डिस्कसिंग ऑन संडे ज्ञान योगम इसने ज्ञान योगम इज द सेवेंथ चैप्टर in the Bhagavad Gita, which is titled as Knowledge of the Absolute. So we saw that in human life, the nature of if you analyze our own life in this world, you can see that continuously it is nothing but problems and solutions. And this become a part, this is continuous activity that we carry out in our life. So this nature of a person is an unsettled state in the mind. We accept it as a normal situation. What Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita is that this is not our normal state. Our normal state is peaceful state, shanti. And that shanti is not there, so continuously we get absorbed in this state of problems and solutions, in other words. So, as I mentioned before, that this nature of this mind continuously demanding new problems and new solutions, it creates more chittavritti inside. Chittavritti means more thoughts comes in. The result of that is that the mind gets disturbed, and that is how this psychology and psychiatry and all these kinds of things have increased practically, you can see, in the modern society. Human society is meant to live in a peaceful state rather than in a very disturbed condition. But because we don't know what that peaceful state is, Krishna says, Bhoktaram yajnyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrutam sarvabhudanam yathvamam shantim rachati. Till there is self-realization, till there is inquiry of the self, Krishna's point is, that's why he says there, that suhrutam sarvabhudanam yathvamam shantim rachati. That when we know about the soul, when our inquiry goes after the soul, then Krishna says, Shanti Mrachadi, Shanti will come. Otherwise, Shanti will not come to the society. It will go after material life and get entangled in that process and will find it always a problem with their own mind, and therefore all these problems, what we see in the society today. So Krishna's opinion or Krishna's instructions on this is that how can one come back to that state of shanti or peaceful state inside? Because shanti is the nature of the soul. It is supposed to be in shanti state. This disturbed state is the problem with the mind. So therefore this condition, when it gets beyond our control, it turns into madness, and then we have all other problems, mentally disturbed people, and also with the result of that is that you need places to treat them, and mental hospitals and all other things increases because of this. So you can see these changes happening not only here, in every society. That at one time, in India also, there were no mental hospitals in India. When British came, they were also shocked when they saw that there were no mental hospitals in India when they came first time. But now if you go, you will see there is so many psychiatric units and mental hospitals and consultants and counselings, counselors everywhere. With the change in the people's way of life, everything has changed. And it's a completely unknown thing in the past that there were mental hospitals. Generally, people, obviously there will be sometimes always disturbed people, but they were looked after within the structure of the family or in the society, but not with a special unit for them. They were adjusted within the framework of the society. So you can see from this that this change in the society, what's happening, and Krishna is saying again and again that if you forget about the soul and simply look after the body, this will be the result of that. This will be the result of that. We have to care for the soul. And Krishna mentions this in the second chapter again. So, after saying that, Krishna says all the conflicts or all the problems or conflicts, everything Krishna has spoken in the second chapter, if you remember, in the second chapter. If you look into that verse in the second chapter, you will see there, Krishna talks that and mentions that. If you look into verse 53, Krishna says, Shruti vipradivannade yadastasati nishchala samadhav achala buddhi tada yogam avapsyasi. There is a verse 53. Shruti vipradivannade yadastasati nishchala samadhav achala buddhi tada yogam avapsyasi. I'll read the translation. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. Krishna says that samadhav achala buddhi. This achala buddhi means that an intelligence which does not get disturbed over anything. And tada yogam avapsisi. Krishna says that is the yoga state. That is the yoga state. So, with our way of trying to find the problem, solution to the problem, we complicate the thing. We make it more difficult. So, shruti vipradivannade yathastasiddhi nischala. Then, samadhav asadav achala buddhi tada yogam avapsyasi. Here, you say that, Krishna is saying here, that one in full samadhi has realized Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. It does not matter which one. Either way, either Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, some realization must be there in everyone. If it is not there, Krishna says the buddhi will start wavering. In other words, so long as the attention is on the body, that is going to cause problems. This is the important thing. That either it should be attached to Brahman, or Paramatma or Bhagavan. In some way, there should be a spiritual life in everybody. When there is no spiritual life, it's going to disturb the system. And with the result of that is we have all these psychiatric problems in the society. When you develop a whole society based on the body, you can expect that. That's what Krishna is saying to us, practically. So, shruti vipradipannade yathastasiddhi nischala samadhav achala buddhi tada yogam avapsyasi. Krishna says when someone is completely fixed on the soul, then he is in the yoga state. Our pure identity is soul, not the body. And when we more identify with the body, we are bound to end up in serious trouble. And that trouble overflow in through the mind, through the body, through the senses in different ways. And the whole society becomes focused on sense gratification and bodily maintenance, simply it becomes a disturbance. That's what Krishna is saying here. That the you will see the Prabhupada mentions there about the flowery language of the Vedas. Flowery language of the Vedas means that people have this misunderstanding that the that fruitive activities are acceptable. Fruitive activities are not acceptable from the Vedic point of view. But when fruitive activities takes over, Krishna is saying here that the interest becomes different. It's not spiritual anymore. It's completely for advancement in the material side. So even those chapters, why it is like that in the Vedas is because the Vedic philosophy, knowing very well our limitations, has spoken both alternatively, the fruitive activities and simultaneously with the knowledge of the soul, self-realization as well. So self-realization is more important, and that is what Vedas are directing us towards that. But because we get attracted by the vasanas inside for sense enjoyment, we take to this path of Vedic philosophy where it is directed towards that, towards the sense gratification. That's why Prabhupada mentions that Krishna conscious person or unflinching devotee of the Lord should not be disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, nor be engaged in fruitive activities for promotion to the heavenly kingdom. Shrutivi pradivannade yathasthasyati nishchalam samadhau achalabuddhi tada yogam avapsyasi. Yathasthasyati nishchalam. Nishchalam means one does not move anymore. So these conflicts which comes out from the mind, when our chitta means the subtle body, when it comes steady, when they are getting resolved, when the problems gets resolved, when the problem comes up in us in different forms, as I mentioned with these problems of the mind, you can see that when they get resolved, how did they get resolved? That is the question. The answer is that all problems and their solutions and is only resolved because from inside the soul allows, because it's completeness or the perfection inside of the soul, and when that comes into the play, into the role, immediately that imperfection since inside disappears. In other words, whenever there is imperfection outside in the world and that is causing disturbances inside the mind, it leaves us only when the perfection of the soul starts permeating outside. It is the soul that is solving the problems, not the external world. External world creates a problem. The presence of the soul inside, because it is complete, as Ishavanishad says, Purnam, Purnam, it keeps repeating that, isn't it? What is that Purnam? Purnatvam. Purnatvam means it is satisfied on its own. It does not require anything from externally. Soul doesn't need anything external. On its own, it is peaceful and satisfied within. And that nature of the soul, when it takes over our existence, then we feel peaceful. On the other hand, when we allow the external forces to take over, and then we see the imperfections coming in, and we feel ourselves in a disturbed state. Because that Purnavastu means the complete thing, soul, it's already there inside us, and that removes all the apurnada. Apurnada means imperfections or incompleteness within us. Actually, that is what we are. That perfect thing inside is what we are. So that's our pure identity. Tameva tamevagam janatha almanam anya vacho vimunchada. Upanishad says this, that there is only one problem there. He says it's not a problem with the soul. There is a thing called ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance in us. So once we know what my real nature is, what my real identity is, then that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, and all the other problems what we are experiencing is in relationship with the periphery. Periphery means this body, this mind and things like that, intelligence, ego, all these things. None of them is my pure identity. To establish in that state is called self-realization. As you can see, that when the when you come to the platform of the soul, there is no imperfection. Soul is fully, by very nature, it is full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of, it is eternal. But when it is in the identification with the body, we experience the imperfections in different forms. Imperfections in the body, in the form of diseases. Imperfections in the mind, in the form of disturbed state of life. Imperfections in our intelligence, which also not able to make the right decisions after the result of the imperfection mind. And then the imperfections in the false ego as well. So, when all these things are happening, in us, at the same time, there is an existence beyond the mind. There's an existence beyond the mind. Because there is a consciousness inside which is completely aware of all these things, what's happening. Even when mind is disturbed, we know we are disturbed, isn't it? We know we are disturbed. So who is aware of that? We are aware of that. That is the beauty of the soul. Even when the mind is disturbed, body is disturbed, I am aware of that disturbance. And that awareness of the disturbance is in me. And that is perfect. The one who is be aware of that is perfect. That's why he is able to tell us that you are disturbed. When we are sick, although we identify with the body, from inside there is a signal coming to us from the soul saying that the body is sick. Same thing with the mind also. Why am I so disturbed inside? You start thinking like that, isn't it, with the mind. So here in this chapter, Krishna is going to talk about that. Then material world we are seeing, the external world we are seeing, and we become aware of that as well. We are seeing that and we become aware of that. That the one who is becoming aware of that, he has the knowledge as well as the realization. It is him who is having the knowledge, jnanam, and he has the vijnanam as well. He has the vijnanam as well. That means this consciousness or bodham, as they call it as the bodham. Bodham means that, if you remember, nitya, shuddha, buddha, mukta, saryavam. That bodham is coming from the word bodham. Buddha means always conscious of something, everything that's going on in this. We are aware of that, but we don't know how to resolve the problem. That is it. Problem comes and we become aware of the problem. And when that bodham, avabodham, that is referred in different ways, bodham or buddha swarupam or avabodham, whichever way you call, we call that, that is the one you can see that on one side senses are perceiving things, isn't it? That's called perception. The bodham is experiencing, perception and experience. Senses are perceiving things and bodham is experiencing things. Or in other words, just like if I look at everybody here, I see them, and that is pratiti. Pratiti is what they call it as the perception. Perception is pratiti. If my eyes are open, I see everybody. If I close my eyes, I don't see anyone. So through the senses, what you experience is pratiti, or it is your perception of things. But even when I close my eyes, I shut all my senses. I close my eyes, I shut my ears, and all senses are closed. Still, what I am experiencing inside, that is experience. There is a difference there, isn't it? What you are experiencing, because in spite of all senses and the mind, in all their absence, still I am conscious of my existence. I am existing. Ahamasmi, ahamasmi. Always aware of that is what Krishna calls it as the anubhavam, or anubhavam means experience, in other words. So in a similar way, jnana vijnanam. Jnanam is that what is coming through all the senses, mind, everything, when we perceive things from there. Vijnanam is that when it is experienced inside by the soul. This is a very subtle thing, but it makes a lot of sense also. I'll tell you why it makes a sense. If you keep on analyzing things like that in this world, everything, you will see majority of the time we are busy with jnanam, not with vijnanam, isn't it? All the senses are active, because morning to night, as soon as you wake up in the morning, till you go to sleep at night, it is jnanam that is being acquired. knowledge through the senses, from where, but it never turns into vijnanam. It remains as jnanam only. It cannot be turned into vijnanam, because vijnanam is a function that is going on inside, even when the senses are not experiencing. This difference in jnana vijnanam is that what you find in the difference in our education also. In the past, if you remember that story I mentioned about Chandogya Upanishad, the Satyagama came to his spiritual master and told him, "I want to know about the truth." That was his inquiry. And the spiritual master tells him, he looked at the child, this little boy, 5 or 6 years old he was, Satyagama, and says to Satyagama, there were a few other children in the Gurukulam, they have come to get educated. They were going through their normal lectures at the lectures or classroom studies at the Gurukulam. He was teaching them Shastram. But Satyagama came, and as soon as the spiritual master saw him, and he asked this question, a 5-year-old boy is asking, Satyagama asking his teacher, that instruct me about the truth. Can you imagine how deeper level the child is thinking? Instruct me about the truth, he says. So as soon as he heard this question, the teacher looks at the child and says to him, there are so many cows we have here, take them all and go to the forest, he says to him. And when they become 1,000, come back to me. Chandogya Upanishad story this is. When they have become 1,000, you come back to me. So, in that system of education, the teacher considers important what you have realized in life. That is more important for him. He does not consider how much information you have collected in this world. In the modern education, what we have is how much information you have collected in this world is more important for us, isn't it? Our education is like that. That is why information technology and information systems we have developed to such an extent that a stage comes that this brain cannot handle it anymore. So much information, but in reality, no use at the end. The Gurukulam system of education is that don't collect information. It is no use at the end. It is no use at the end. You can see the system of education then and the system of education now is on completely different understanding. In them days, in the Satyagama's time, the stress was on realizing things, not on collecting information. If you realize something, and if it is a good thing about the soul, then you are peaceful within, and you don't need to run around in the whole world, here, there, everywhere, morning to night, just to live here. This shows how gross we have become from those times to now. How gross we are now, even as far as education is concerned. They didn't give any value to collecting information about this world. Because when that teacher told Satyagama, go to forest, his intention was that if you leave him alone, from inside that development, what is necessary will happen in a natural way. And especially if the child is intelligent, the principle is don't teach him anything. It should develop on his own. Our system now is feed everything to the child from all possible ways and make him useless at the end, isn't it? So you can see the system of education, how much it differs from the past and now. And we think that, we have a better system of education. Our system of education is carry this huge bulk load of books and things at the back like us from morning to night, evening. And go to school and spend 8 or 10 hours there and comes back, and then we think, what knowledge have they got? Why? I'll tell you why there is no knowledge. Suppose you have studied so many subjects in the university. While studying itself, inside the super soul and yourself, the soul in other words, have made the decision that this knowledge what I'm trying collecting now is only for the examination. It is with this understanding you are picking up the information from the world. As soon as he has written the exam and you have left, the whole thing is gone. Why? Antaryami inside won't allow you to keep things what is not necessary inside. This is the nature of Antaryami. Antaryami knows that to maintain, Antaryami means the super soul inside knows what is necessary to maintain the body here in this world. Only what it finds useful will keep it. What it doesn't need, it will throw it out. It will completely wipe it out like a hard disk. It will throw it away. It will clean up straight away. That's why so much we studied in our school, 10, 12 years at the school, then 5 or 7 years in the college, university and all that. How much is kept still in the mind? Nothing. Practically most of it is gone. Only that much what was necessary for the job or getting the udarar puranam or filling the belly, that was kept inside the information collected and kept there. Shastram says that this kind of education is worthless. Because at the end of the day, all it has done is that it has helped you to get some work in this world or do some business or something like that to keep your body going in this world. Whereas Vedic system is, Gurukula system is like that they don't collect information, but we go much deeper level and see what is expected from the, how the soul will have its activities and the soul's reaction to things, and therefore understanding of the soul alone is considered education. Realizing the soul alone is considered as education. Everything else is not education. And if you keep on analyzing, you can see there that the ancient system of Gurukulam and the value they have given to the inner development is more important than the external aspects. And therefore, from the very beginning, without disturbing the external side of life, they kept the internal life a more fruitful way. So, the other thing there is that the all these problems, what we call as the conflicts inside, what happens in the mind, the duality of the material world, isn't it? Material world is duality. You know that what duality means. Duality means that to see in everything good and bad, good and bad. Just like we say that the material life is duality. Material world is made of duality, isn't it? Dundvam, dundvam. Ubhaya varjita, Krishna says, give up both. Dundvam. Dundvam happens in this way that the, say for example, in everything what we perceive in this world, there is duality. That duality is boy and girl, day and night, happiness and distress, and attachment and aversion, man and woman. Like this, in everything you see the two things. Krishna's point is, and in something you will get attached, something you will feel aversion, ragam and dvesham. So this, to escape from duality, Krishna is saying, there is gunam, there is good things and there is bad things. When you start seeing that both this good thing and bad thing is bad, then you have understood it properly. Gunastu ubhayavarjitam. Ubhayavarjitam means, you are able to, now we will see in every dealings in our world, in the, something is good, something is bad. Krishna is saying, seeing something as good and bad itself is bad. That's the Krishna's point. Because Krishna is seeing things from a much different level than us. Due to our vasanas inside, ragadvesham inside, that is why we say something is good and something is bad. But what Krishna is saying, when ragadvesham goes away from inside, what you will see is, there is nothing thing called good and bad. To see itself that something is good and something bad, itself is bad. Itself is bad. So, this dvandvam, this happiness, distress, and all these things, when that goes away from us, we keep getting closer to that center point, to the soul, to that center. Otherwise, we are far away from the center, our operation, in other words, all our activities. So once we get towards that center of the soul, you will notice that there everything is perfect, complete in itself, and happiness and peace. That's what the nature of the soul is. Full of bliss, full of knowledge and eternal. Purnatvam, completeness, is in the soul. That experience comes at that stage. So the purpose of all satsangam or the discussion of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is get to our attention towards that soul. How to get the attention towards the soul. And the sages and spiritual life, it's all meant for that. Nothing else. It's all meant for that. Whereas externally, if you keep on trying to find a solution to these problems, it will never happen. It will get more complex, more complicated. Remember that incident we talked about before, that when in a very sophisticated society, or the modern society, very sophisticated we say, isn't it? Very sophisticated means very much lost control of the mind, in other words. That's the very sophisticated society what we are living today. And we become more and more complexities develop in this sophisticated society. As I gave you the example before, that in America, that there was one family went to visit another family, and the youngest child went and sat on a bike and he won't get down from the bike. In spite of the parents went there to visit another family, and he got attracted to a bike or something there, he went and sat on it. The parents told the child to get down from the bike, and the child won't get down. And because the law is such, they are not allowed to smack the child. There is restrictions on all levels, isn't it, now? With the social rules or law or whatever you could call it. But so the child won't get down, and then they had to ask a psychiatrist to come. And psychiatrist comes there, and he has a negotiation with the parents because you have asked for special services, so you have to pay him. So all that transactions happened, and all the psychiatrist did was he went up to the child and told him very bluntly, are you going to get down or do you want me to forcefully get you out? Child got out quietly and came out, because child noticed that he has come with this intention. So in other words, what it is that when the society becomes very sophisticated, we get completely confused about why all these problems are happening, and then we don't have any solution to that, and we look for very external solutions, not knowing all these problems have happened because we have moved far away from the soul. The external body, you can see, in the absence of self-realization, in the absence of a society where soul has no value, where soul is not taken into account in the whole calculations, that society suffers more than any other society in this world. That's also, we can observe yourself. So, with spiritual life, the idea is not to solve the problems of the world. That's not the spiritual life. That's a misunderstanding in spiritual life, that we will solve all the problems of this world, or problems of the body, or problems of the mind. All those things will stay as they are, but with all this confusion going on, you will still see there is somewhere else, there is peace existing. And that is the center what we are talking about, where you are absolutely perfect. Shanti, full shandam, or completeness or perfection in that. And that shanti, that perfection, is not what you have acquired by your effort. It's not come by our effort. That's always there in the soul. In the soul. And because it's always there, it will never get destroyed also. The peace what you experience in the mind can go. The peace what you experience in the body can go. But the peace with the soul can never go. So this is why Shastram says to us, spiritual life is so important. Apart from self-realization, even for our peaceful life in this world, spiritual life is necessary. Because Shanti and perfection, or Shanti or peace or perfection or completeness is only in the soul, not in the body, not in the mind, not in the intelligence, not in the ego. They are all places of disturbances actually. So therefore Krishna is saying that it is so important to keep this focused all the time, that perfection or Purnatvam or Shanti is in the soul, and if you want, and that you cannot acquire by any process, because by the very nature of the soul is Purnam, is complete, is peaceful. And that will not go, just like you perform meditation in this world, isn't it? We perform meditation. You get some Shanti from meditation. But when you stop the meditation, either it will go straight away or it will go after some time. But the Shanti that comes from the soul, it cannot go. It's always there. All the time, it's present there. It never leaves us. And due to the presence of the body, or when the body gets disturbed through illnesses or any other way, that peace still does not go, because it's complete and it's present all the time. It will not be affected. That peace will not be affected. That is why you find those who are centered around the soul, even when their body is disturbed, they tend to be less disturbed than others. Isn't it? They get that ability, or they get that state of consciousness where bodily disturbances are not disturbing the inside. Inside is not disturbed. Even when the mind is disturbed, or mind gets concerned about various thoughts, still the inside peace still protects them. The peace from inside still protects them. It's not that those who are advanced in spiritual life, they don't have problem with the body, or they don't have problem with the mind. They also have problem with the body and the mind. But what keeps them peaceful in this world, or able to execute their work or whatever they are doing and still be unaffected by anything, is that peace permeating from inside, radiating from the soul because of their connection with that. So they call it as the unconditional freedom, or unconditional perfection, or unconditional bliss. Because that peace inside of the soul is unconditional. It is not something that you have acquired by your effort. It's always there by the very nature of the soul itself. And that's why it's different. So that is why going towards the soul and realizing the soul is an important thing in spiritual life. Self-realization is so important that every step, if it is not directed towards that, it's not spiritual life. It's not spiritual life. Like spiritual life can develop into various, our material conditioning can take us away from the soul also very easily. So that's why I say is that, therefore, that it is getting that peace from within is the nature of the soul, or the function of the soul. So people ask this question, this is the purpose of satsangam. Satsangam is to keep us away from the body, away from the mind, away from the intelligence, away from the false ego, and constantly going back to Krishna's words on this, and constantly keeping that in our thoughts, we will see that these disturbances of the body, mind, everything leaves us, and we become more satisfied and peaceful by the very presence of the knowledge of the soul. That is self-realization. So people ask this question that what has happened? What should I do after this satsangam? They'll ask this question. Now that you have... So it is to get out of this doing business, that we have done so much enough, and we have seen the result also by doing what has happened. Doing, we have done so much that it is the society which is doing more is got the more problems. The one which is doing more. So, the satsangam is like that. That discussion about the soul and moving our attention from the body towards the soul. As I mentioned about Satyagama state, Satyagama goes to forest with the with the cows, as he was told. He never questioned, look, I've come to tell me only about the truth. I don't want to know about the cows. He didn't say that. He took the cows and went to the forest. He knew that the person who was speaking had some purpose behind it. He was willing to accept that. And this deeper level understanding of for a child like that at that stage, was able to accept that, and he goes to the forest, and he stayed in the forest for a long period of time. While living there, this very instruction made him to think, why I was sent here to the forest? Why I was sent to the forest? So while living in the forest also, the thoughts were very much on a deeper level about the truth he was inquiring. And with the association of the cows, and in their association, he was more peaceful, and there was no question about who is going to maintain me. That was his consideration. He has to find the answer himself. He took the milk from the cows and he stayed in the forest and he carried on. And in that life also, they are saying, Upanishad says like this, that the child was so peaceful within himself. Shanti was there. Remember here, he was not given any books to carry, to read or think about it. He was not given any homework to do. He was not given any external coaching or tuition or whatever we call today. None of them. He's telling the child, just go to the forest and live with the cows and come back. And things will happen in its own way. Because according to Upanishads, that if a person is inquiring properly, there are sources in this world to instruct that person about the truth. So how do you see that? When one day a bull comes to him, out of the cows, a bull comes to him and speaks to Satyagama that we have become thousand. We have become thousand. Now, the normal person, gross man, what he will say, how can the bull speak? Isn't it? But what you have to realize here is, it's a much deeper level, the answer is, Satyagama, due to reflection, contemplation inside, he has practically become to the stage of Sudeva Goswami state. What is that state? Sarvabhuta Hridayam Muni Manatosmi. He was able to get the message from the bull's mind or bull's thoughts. He was able to permeate into the bull's consciousness and to see that the bull was speaking like this to him, that we have become thousand. That Sarvabhuta Hridayam, the word in the Bhagavadam, like Sukadeva Goswami saw his presence in everyone. That in the spiritual platform, that is what happens. When spiritual realization happens, we see that as spirit soul, we are present in everybody. On a bodily level, we are unitized and we are limited within one body. But on a spiritual level, we are present in everybody, isn't it? So exactly the same thing has happened to Satyagama. Satyagama started seeing, he was able to communicate with all the cows who are present there. So as soon as he saw that we have become thousand, he felt that the bull was telling him. And bull did not come and speak to him. But bull's thoughts have come to Satyagama's mind. And Satyagama started experiencing what the bull was thinking about it. So immediately Satyagama says to all the cows to come, and they followed him. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam. In the Bhagavadam, when you look, you will see there about Sudeva Goswami said that, isn't it? Tam sarvabhuta hridayam manim anadosmi. It is such a deep spiritual significance in those few words. When Vedavyasa Maharshi called Sudeva Goswami to perform his Upanayanam ceremony and other rituals associated with that, he walked away from home. Sudeva Goswami walked away from home. And when he called him Putra Putra, asking the sun to come back, the trees and the creepers and everyone was replying him, replying Vedavyas. And to show to us that who was speaking through them, Sudeva Goswami was speaking through the trees and the plants, asking, what do you want? Why you are calling me back? So this whole experience in the Upanishads, what they are saying is that the self-realization develops all these different states of a person. In a gross level, we require everything, isn't it? On a certain level, without doing anything, things can happen. Without doing anything, things can happen. So, so you can understand that, that the intents behind all these things, when Satyagama comes back with the cows, there's three or four people instructing him in different aspects of Brahman realization. Different aspects of Brahman realization. The bull instructed, and then another bird instructed, and a swan instructed, fire god instructed at different times on his way back. At different times. When we say instructed means, while being these subtle elements, or in other words, this in the form of these birds, in the form of the swan, they came, the material elements, they came and instructed him about Brahman, Brahman realization. Different padam, it's called in the Upanishads. Padam means at different levels, the instructions were given. By the time he got back to his spiritual master with all these 1,000 cows, the spiritual master saw him and tells him that you look, although you are realized, you are completely self-realized, you look. By seeing, he could say that. By seeing this little boy, by now he has grown big and he has come back and he is saying to him that you are already self-realized. He says to him, you already got the answer what you come to me for. This is how capable and how subtly they could see things on a spiritual platform, those personalities. Even then, Satyagama says to his teacher that still the formality is that you have to be instructed by the guru. So therefore, he says to him, please instruct me. And then finally, that like Parikshit was given by Sudeva Goswami in the 12th canto, as a formality it was completed by the spiritual master. That's all. But all the realization has already happened to him before that. So, so when we discuss all these things, even for a second, if our attention goes away from this body, from the mind and from the world outside, and somehow or the other it gets a little bit attracted or to the soul and to the importance of the soul, so it becomes a major factor in spiritual life. This is why we continue, we have to continue satsangam for this reason, because that's the only time when our attention is not on the body or the mind. All other times the attention is in the body, if not on the mind, isn't it? The mind will be taking control of our existence, our awareness, all the time, either in the body or in the mind. So, realized soul, once they have reached that state, by and due to their realization, they have stayed in that state for lifelong. The state of the soul, of the realized state. They were able to stay in that state forever. So, sometimes we also, in our own lives, in our own life, for a very short period of time, we also sometimes lose the awareness of the body and the mind, isn't it? For a very short period of time. We don't know how that happened, because due to some reason, sometimes we also become aware of the existence of the soul, maybe for a very short period of time. So, and it is there that we have found the answer. Just like when a problem happens in our mind or in the body, when you feel a relief from that, that it is going to go away, and you're going to feel some relief from that at some point, you can take it that that relief operation has come from the soul, not from outside. We may externally think that the external medicines are the solve the problem. No. Actually, the decision is made inside. Even when the medicine is given to a disease for the body, the decision is made inside whether to come out of that illness or not. It's not due to medicine alone that the cure has happened. It's the same thing with the problem with the mind also. Although these things, many people may find it difficult to accept, but in a subtle platform, and the Shastram also is insisting that the solution is coming from inside, not from outside. Not from outside. So, therefore, whatever problem we may have in our body or in the mind, or whatever sinful activities we may have performed or pious activities we have performed, that's all in the surface. It's not inside, in the soul. It's all in the surface. And it is not good also to get concerned unduly about that. More than, because as we develop this knowledge of the soul and understanding of the soul, and when we start realizing that the body and the mind is not our identity, all the sinful activities and pious activities you have done with the body and the mind, not with the soul. Soul has never done any sinful activity nor any pious activity. So more we absorbed in the body and the soul, pious activities and sinful activities will have its impact on us. Often, even in a spiritual life, when we come to, we have been bombarded with this sinful activity, pious activity, isn't it? We have been so sinful, or I've been, and therefore you have to pay for it. But it is not like that. The more you are absorbed in the body and the mind, these problems will be there. But the more we move away from that towards the soul, this falsely identified issues of the body and the mind will leave us as well. This you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly. When Hiranyakashipu performed such demonic activities, isn't it? Demonic activities Hiranyakashipu performed. And at one stage, Hiranyakashipu gave some hell to the whole world with his demonic tendencies in his nature. So, Srinarada Maharshi, at one point, points out about Hiranyakashipu to Yudhishthira Maharaj and says to him, "You may be thinking that this Hiranyakashipu is such a big demon, isn't it? Actually, he is not," he says. You will be amazed when Narada Maharshi says that about Hiranyakashipu. Why did he say that? You have to think that also. When Narada Maharshi speaks something, he means it, means that. He says, although he has done all this world, inside it was samadhi state. Inside it was samadhi state. The fact that he managed to get back in 3 lifetimes is the proof to us that externally he may have done many demoniac things. And according to our calculation, he is meant to be here only, never able to go back, isn't it? He's not meant to go back. Because if you look through the eye of the sinful activity, pious activity, for what Hiranyakashipu has done, he has no chance of getting back in 3 lifetimes, 3 million lifetimes he has to stay here. Because that's the kind of demonic activity he has done. But Srinarada Maharshi is saying there that although he was a demon and his activity, because he was doing it on a big scale, isn't it? Big. We do it on a much smaller scale compared to him. And we are only concerned about our little activity in this world. But his activity, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you can see that not only he gave hell to Prahlada, he gave hell to Brahmanas, he gave Hiranyakashipu's rule in the Bhagavatam. If you read it, you will see in the 7th canto how demonic he was. Demonic means that he will not accept anything in relationship with Krishna, Vishnu. He doesn't want to know anything about it. I am the controller. That was his firm and stand on which he managed. He went to the heavenly planets, and even Indra, he wouldn't care. And when Indra heard that he was coming, he left the planets, left the Indralogam, and went away from there with all the other demigods. All of them left. Because of the power he has acquired from the austerities and penances was such that nobody could keep any control over him. And the result was that he took over the whole administration of the heavenly planets, earthly planet, everything. All the 3 planetary systems were under his control. In the Bhagavatam it says, when he went to the heavenly planets, he goes there and he saw Indra's throne there. With his left foot he gave a kick to that. Jagur Mahendra Asanam Ojasastidam Vishwavasastumburu Naradadayam. That Narada Maharshi is meeting Hiranyakashipu on the way. This Hiranyakashipu who goes and kicks Indra's throne and says to him, "Get that out from here. I am here now in charge." And that is how Hiranyakashipu was. Hiranyakashipu means didn't care for anyone. That is so demoniac in thing, the ego and the pride inside. But in spite of all that, Siddhartha Maharshi says that he was in samadhi state. He was in a samadhi state. Why? Because in three lifetimes he has to finish the business and go back. He has come. So that means, although externally all these things were happening, inside Hiranyakashipu, that strong urge to get back to spiritual world and to spiritual identity was still functioning there. Still functioning there. Externally he was doing all these things. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there that that particular verse is very interesting. When you observe Bhagavatam, these things, you can see that subtle way life goes on in this body. It says that etau sure daragadim pratibadya sadyaha sambhrimba sambhrada samadhanibaddha yogau bhuyasakasha upayasyadamashiyova shapomayaiva nimidastada vaira vipraha. He says, evam etau sure daragadim pratibadya sadyam. When he got his demoniac body, Hiranyakashipu, when he got this demoniac body, he was very angry inside. He had a lot of, so angry he was that his mind became very focused. Very focused. Because he had this great hate towards Vishnu. And because of the hate, it was very focused on Vishnu. Very focused on Vishnu. And he says here, when he was cursed and sent from there, he knew that in very soon I'll be coming back here again to Vaikuntham. He was going to come back to him. So, vaya shaba samaya eva nimitaha. So, he also knew that this anger that was inside him was created by Krishna when he was sent away from there to hate Krishna in that way. That is also, Krishna is the cause behind it, isn't it? So, this is, he uses the word here, sambhramba sambhrada samadhi anubaddha yoga. That is a beautiful words there. Sambhramba sambhrada samadhi samadhi anubaddha yoga. It's a kind of yoga what he was practicing. It was a yoga. Yoga means, eventually it was going to bring him back to Krishna again. Sambhramba sambhrada samadhi. In other words, that intense anger inside, which has given a complete focus on Vishnu in him. It is not bhakti process, but it is a process which is accepted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That if you can hate Krishna, or if you can get angry with Krishna like the way they did, then you can go back to Krishna. Krishna will take you back. This is the interesting thing. Normally, it is not possible for us to hate the way like the way, because in front of Vishnu, to get angry like Hiranyakashipu, or to hate Krishna like the way Kamsa hated, or Shishuvala, or frightened like Kamsa, or hate like Shishuvala, that is not possible. That's not possible for us. Because when they have come, they have taken the ticket to come back in the same way. They have come with that ticket. And only they can do that. And that's why Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Shishupala and Dandavaktra, Ravana and Kumbhavarna, they are all belonging to another category. None of them were devotees in that sense. Bhakti Yoga was not their process. Their process was this Sambhramba, Sambhrada, Samadhi, Baddha Yoga. That's what their process was. So, although generally in the Bhagavatam, Krishna has spoken about these three processes of Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti, that is as far as those who are conditioned jivas in this world. But outside this also there are other processes. But that requires previous sanction from Krishna. Only then you can get it. Like they came. Jai Vijay came. They had that special mercy like that. So we may think Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu and all, oh, they are just demons, I am better than them. We are not better than them. We are worse than them. Because for them, when they came, it was just that they came with that ticket. In three lifetimes, I'll come back. So accordingly, they had that seriousness also in them. And when they did something, Sambhramba Sambhrada Samadhina Baddha Yoga. That Samadhi, that state of awareness of Vishnu was strong in that. And they had to fight to get it. And they got it at the end. We have no such thing. We don't fight. We don't get it. We carry on existing. So that is what he says there, that Sambhramba Sambhrada Samadhina Baddha Yoga, Anubaddha Yoga. So strictly speaking, there is no bad person here. Dushta, Dushtatam is not there. Externally you may appear, a person may look bad, but inside he is complete. Inside he is complete, isn't it? Inside he is complete. Because you cannot have a living being which is not complete. That's the point. Even though they are demons and all that, but they are complete vastu inside them. The vastu inside is complete. So that is the thing. So this attachment, aversion, what we talk about in this world, is all like the cinema on the screen. It's like the cinema on the screen. Nothing touches the screen. Nothing touches the screen. So, even if see all these bad things happening in the screen, there will not be any scratch on the screen, isn't it? When the movie is projected. Movie is like this, that the soul inside and the subtle body inside, and the role of film is our karma vasana. Karma vasana comes, that's the role, film role. It's going through these modes of nature. And in this projector of the world, this film is rolling all the time, and the result of that is what we experience as the material life centered around the body and the mind. So Krishna's point is that the moment the self-realization, which is touching the screen, happens, or we become attached and identified with the screen, this film stops. Film doesn't go on anymore. So, because we have to remember here, we are complete ourselves, we are complete. And nothing can cause any imperfection in the soul. That means neither the body, nor the mind, nor the intelligence, nor the ego can disturb that perfection of the soul, can disturb the perfection of the soul. So you can see that when we know about the soul, it brings some peace also within. When we are aware of the presence of the soul and the nature of the soul, we still feel that there is a hope of changing the things. But when you are thinking all the time in terms of the body and the mind, we often wonder, is one day are we going to change ourselves, isn't it? Changing is not possible. What is possible is to shift the attention to the soul. To shift the attention to the soul. The nature, all of us, all our nature is subject to change. Swarupam will never change. Swabhavam will change. Swabhavam will change. So in order to change in the Swabhavam, we have to be situated in the Swarupam. That is the principle. Swarupam means the soul. Swabhavam means our nature. Nature will always change. Each one of us have different nature. But in Swarupam, we are all same. We are not different. Our Swarupam is the same. So, so the completion or completeness or perfection is in the soul, not in the Swabhav. Not in the Swabhav. So, that perfection, what is in the soul, you cannot get that in the Swabhav, in the nature. And that cannot be achieved by any action or any process. Not by any action or by any process, you can reach that perfection, what is in the soul within the body. That's not possible. We have to recognize this fact and confirm that within ourselves, that I am only perfect inside this, in the soul, I'm not perfect in the body. If we keep that always in our stay, then when disturbance happens in the body or the mind, it will not disturb us, because you know the truth. The truth is that only in the spiritual, only in the soul, platform of the soul, there is perfection. There is no perfection in the body or in the mind. So, so anything as far as the, with karma, what we can do is you can create something in the world outside, or you can acquire something, and or you can change something in the body by your actions. But as far as the soul is concerned, you can't touch it and you can't do anything with it. Just like by exercising very well, probably your body may become a little bit more fit, isn't it? Or if you eat well, you may have a lot of nourishment in the body and it may give you some strength for the body. But neither your exercise nor your eating is going to have any impact on the soul. Any impact on the soul. As much as we get this clarity inside, you will see that I should not waste a lot of my time on this body as well as on the mind. This becomes a lot more and more firmly established inside. So, so the nature is that, that nature of the body and the mind is such that when you give attention to it and when you start trying to develop that, it will develop. But as soon as you stop the development, it will come back again. Loses its, just like if you eat well and if you develop strength in that way, exercise well, the body will show some benefit from that. But the moment you stop the exercise and you stop eating properly, everything, the body will start also coming down in its, it is not going to stay like that in the same way. That is the nature of the body. In the same way, in the mind also, as long as you keep peaceful within the mind without getting disturbed over the things in this world, you will feel some peace inside. But as soon as you pump the mind with a lot of garbage from the world outside, with all kinds of nonsense, what goes on in this world, if you fill that up all inside, what will happen? The mind loses its peace again straight away. But soul is concerned, it's not like that. Soul, you can't change it. It is by very nature, as Krishna is saying, Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma. That soul is very nature that you can't do anything with it. It is by very nature. It is peaceful, Shanti and Satyam Satya Chitta Anandam. It is external, blissful and full of knowledge. So, so, because it is like that, the knowledge of the soul does not change anything with the soul. Knowledge of the soul does not do anything with the soul. What it does is that it is only a lamp that is showing to us. The knowledge is considered to be just a lamp to show the position of the soul. That's all it does. It's only showing the presence of the soul. So that is why it said Nijabodha Rupam. Nijabodha Rupam. Then the more and more we start recognizing this perfection of the soul inside, or if by somehow or the other, if ever our attention falls on that soul, then you will experience that completeness of the soul. At some time, you can never say when that will happen. When you keep on hearing about the soul from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, constantly thinking about it, you will never know when that will happen. It will hit you one day. And when it hits you, you will realize that there is a perfection inside somewhere. In our normal life also, as much as problem comes and we are able to surmount that problem, that is because of the interference from the soul. That is why you are able to overcome the problem. When mind gets disturbed, after a while, somehow or the other, we come back to the peaceful state again. And that peaceful state is coming back because of the interference from the soul. The soul has not interfered. The problem can stay like that in the same way. So whenever that perfection or purnada or completeness from the soul interferes in our mind and the body, you feel that there is a certain peace within ourselves. And what Krishna says here is that that the our attention, if it falls on the soul, somehow or the other, we never know how it will happen, because it's bound to happen one day when you keep on hearing about the soul and the activities of the soul and the activities of the devotees and the jnanis, you will observe that there was something that they were different from us. That their state of consciousness, somewhere they were different from us. And that slowly will catch up one day, everybody. One day or the other, it will catch up. And the more the time is devoted, it's not by doing that you will get anything. It's not by doing only you will get it. By doing you won't get it. Even if you, say for example, if you take it and then you will say that I'll go home and start going through the verses again and then I'll analyze it, it may not happen. It has to happen when you hear about it. That's when it has to happen. That when we talk about the soul and when we keep on hearing, when Shravanam happens, instantaneously this realization also has to happen of the existence of the soul, of the essence of the soul. And that is why from all sides, through Upanishads, through Brahma Sutram, Puranas, everywhere, he is trying to bring us to the, our attention towards that. They are not expect, they didn't give us any homework. Let me put it that way. There is no homework involved in this. It's not like the education from the school or college. It is that inside reality, because sages are so sure about the existence of the soul and they have experienced it, they lived that life and showed it to us. There is a life like that, a life called spiritual life based on the soul. And when you see their life, you get inspired that seeing their peace within, not being disturbed by anything in this world, and that complete surrender inside to the truth in what is present inside, total acceptance of the truth inside, all these things, and in their very presence, you also experience that peace. Isn't it? So, we have Shastram, and we have personalities who have lived that life and showed it to us, that it is possible to reach that state. So, when you see that, naturally you feel that you want to reach that state also. Isn't it? And when you can't do that, that is when our difficulties are coming inside. So, and when the attention falls on that, at no time you will see that that perfection, you don't lose it. You don't lose it. But even in even at that stage, you will know, the interesting thing is this. When you have come to that state and you start realizing that peaceful nature of the soul, at that time you will see that none of the problems in the world are solved. And that is a very interesting state in spiritual life. You have come to understand the truth that the perfection, peace and completeness is all in the soul. You have come to realize that and you have started experiencing it. And then when you look into the world, you are seeing all that problems which you were thinking about solving before, they are still continue to exist. But only thing is now you realize that you have nothing to do with it. That's all. So it is in ignorance that we are thinking, I have to change this world. I have to improve the condition. This is all total ignorance. Sages have never approved any of these things. If you remember, realized state when they speak, they will always insist on this. Don't come to the mundane platform again. Prabhupada criticized this very much sometimes. When Prabhupada was contacted by the devotees and asking him, shall we open schools? Prabhupada said, what for? I say again, hospitals. Prabhupada says, what for? Hospitals are for the body. We are not in that business of keeping people's health in a... This argument that we have to keep good health for engaging in devotional service, that's a lower understanding. The higher understanding is that we should learn about the soul, not worry about the body too much. Body, let it go. If it goes, it goes. But it's going to go anyway one day. It's not going to stay. So why come down to that level again of opening hospitals and schools and all that? If you want to help anyone, help them on the spiritual platform. Bring them back to this pure truth of the soul, that make them aware that the soul is our identity, and the more we get closer to it in our thoughts, in our consciousness, it will change the scene, scenario completely. So we will also realize that no problem in the world can be solved by us. Can be solved by us. So, the problem is solved when there is no problem inside, not problem outside. Best thing is to solve the problem inside. And actually, you are not solving the problem, you are actually dissolving the problem. You are actually dissolving the problem. So, how do we know that we are dissolving the problem? Because that's what we are doing every day. When you go into deep sleep, what do? You have not solved any problem in the world. All problems are there when you went to sleep. Problems started only when you woke up. Isn't it? So in Sushupti states, you have dissolved all the problems, and that is a way to solve the problem. To go into the Sushupti state and get out of the problems. But this other idea that we will solve all the problems, we will change this world, and the world is run by another force, material nature. She knows how to run this. She doesn't need my help, your help, or anybody's help. She will run it in her own way. So rather than moving away from that, this Jnana Vijnana Yogam is this very fine, thin line which is between the Jnanam and that Vijnanam, is such that the more we separate ourselves from this very nature, material nature, and we become more focused on the spiritual side of life, you will see that Purnada, that Shanti, that perfection, everything will come in a very normal way. It will happen in us. So, what happens in the Sushupti state? There is no body there. There is no mind there. There is no intelligence there. There is no false ego there. In the deep sleep state. And then we come back and we say, I was very happy. That, why happy? Because there was no mind. There was no body. That's why you are happy. Not that you had the body, you had the mind, you are happy. Because there was no body, there was no mind, you are happy at that stage. So from where did that happiness come? You didn't get that happiness by working hard, was it? By not working hard, you got that happiness. So it's a natural thing. Svatasiddham it is called in the Shastram. A very natural thing of the soul, that happiness. And it is always there. And natural way, inside what we have is happiness and not distress. And not distress. That's what we have got. Inside, in the soul, has got. We don't say, soul is full of distress, soul is temporary, or soul is ignorance. No. That's why when they defined the soul, they said, the nature of the soul is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. These three things are inherent or associated with the soul. It's the very nature of the soul. But then, where did the distress come from then? The distress is in the material nature. Distress is in the material nature. Happiness is in the soul. So, this happiness what we are talking about is not exactly happiness, what we refer to as anandam, isn't it? Anandam is the nature of the soul. Happiness is centered around mostly around the senses. Mostly around the senses. So, when somebody is happy, normally you won't go and ask a person, why you are so happy? You won't ask that. It's not necessary. But if somebody is in distress, you will ask the question, isn't it? Why do you feel so depressed? You will ask that question. So, similarly, just like in the, that is as far as the mind is concerned. Similarly, if somebody is healthy, you won't ask the question, why are you looking so healthy? Why are you not getting any heart attack? Or why are you not getting a cancer? Or why are you not getting any blood pressure? We don't ask that question, isn't it? We don't ask the question. So, similarly, in the happy state of the soul, or in other words, in that anandam state, so we won't ask that question. There is no necessity to ask any question. All of that is a natural thing with the soul, happiness, and also peacefulness, and also the permanent existence. I don't die. Or that is the eternal nature of the soul. These things are very nature of the soul, and that you cannot take it away. Only when you leave that and come to the body, you experience all the other things. The distress, and also the death, fear of death, All these are when you come to the body and the mind, isn't it? Only in the body and the mind you feel all these things, the distress, the death or the fear of the death, and also the ignorance. Ajnanam, don't know what's happening, don't know what's happening. Ajnanam, as they call it, isn't it? Everything that is opposite to the soul, you will experience in the body and the mind. Everything opposite to the qualities of the soul, you will experience in the body and the mind. This is, we have to clearly bifurcate, because Jnana Vijnana Yoga is this, how to separate this out very clearly within us. And so, sometimes people ask, what is this thing called the soul? After all, because that is the most difficult, and because it is of its subtle nature. So sometimes that presence of the soul is experienced in the form of shanti, peace inside, isn't it? Peace inside. And everyone has sometimes some experience of the peace in this world. Sometimes we experience that peace, isn't it? Very rarely it comes, but it does come. Sometimes everyone experiences that peace inside. Body is not, you're not too much concerned about the body, not too much concerned about the mind, and not too much intelligence or ego is influencing, but a certain different kind of peace one experiences in life. And so once a person, then it is experienced in satsangam, and it is experienced when one is reflection on the soul. Individually, to experience that is sometimes difficult, because the shravanam process is the one that creates in a person that experience of the soul. It's a shravanam that happens. So a child asked about this, that this question, that what do you mean by this experience of the soul? So the example is given that when you have no problems inside, no problems are there, at least at that moment, for that moment, when you don't experience any problems of this world, nor you have any problems with the body, sometimes you experience a certain peace inside, isn't it? But before you know, the mind brings some other new things to worry about, and then you start working on that. So that state, when you have experience for a short period of time, either in satsangam or when there you have no problems in other times, that's what it is mentions there, that the that when the when, say for example, children go to school, and on the last day of their schooling, they get for the summer vacation. They have got long vacation, isn't it? 2 months or so. So the last day of schooling, have you noticed how happy they are? They're very happy that particular day. So big relief, at least another 2 months. This thing, I don't have to carry this on my back, that huge bag with all the things, or I don't have to go and listen to all the thing what they teach me there. The child inside, Antaryami, is telling him, I don't need all these things to live in this world. All I need is some food to eat and a place to sleep. And these people, they are pumping all the garbage into me, and I have to take it, because there's a thing called examination waiting later, and I have to get the mark and get the certificate, and after that I can completely wipe out the whole thing off from inside. So that child on that last day, how he feels that about that vacation, long vacation, 2 months or 3 months or whatever that is, how happy he feels at that time. Spiritual life is a long vacation from this whole thing. Spiritual life is a eternal vacation. That is spiritual life. If you want to have a comparison, I'm saying. How that child feels after leaving school on the last day, with fully aware that at least 2-3 months I don't have to see any of these things. No homework, no running to getting up so early and running to school in the morning, whole day battling with the teachers and the other students, and coming home and they're demanding so many things, plus all the pressure from the parents to study. All these things put together, the child loses any opportunity to develop anything spiritually. He loses everything, isn't it? So, but when he feels that 2 months vacation, at least now parents won't push me, at least for the next 2 months, they won't be after me. Or the teachers, you don't have to see them for at least 2 months. Quite often you will see many times you don't like the teachers, but you can't do anything about it. You just have to tolerate all the time. So how they feel at that day about this vacation? Spiritual life is for us, it's an eternal vacation like that. I say eternal vacation like that. So after when that vacation ends, just a day before they have to go back to school, how they feel, if you ask them, they'll become look very depressed and morose about the whole thing, because they never liked it. It was forced upon them for something. And they'll start thinking about the homework from next day onwards, and then all the examinations that's coming after that, projects that they have to complete, and things like that. So in spiritual life, there is no homework, there is no projects to be performed, and there is no other activities. So everything shanti. Spiritual life is no homework, no projects, nothing. Shanti or peace or nirvriti, that is a natural thing in spiritual life. Though in order to say that, there is a state exists like that. That's why we are sitting here, to say this thing again and again. That there is nothing to be taught otherwise. Salsangam or or to teach some verses. You study all these verses like homework, like from the school. That's not the idea of salsangam. Salsangam is only to wake us up to this reality. That there is a state called a state of existence where neither the mind nor the body has any influence on that state. Rather, our identity is with the soul. It is possible. Possibility is already there. Because potentially there. Because the reason why we say like that is, this thing called liberation is what? Liberation is from the body and the mind, isn't it? Liberation is from the body and the mind. And this seed of liberation is already there in us. The seed of liberation is already in us. So you will see there in the, this is, all these things are spoken in the Upanishads. It's not spoken so much in the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is talking to us from a different plane. Upanishads talks to us in a different plane. So Upanishads will say, reporting is in a different level. There they'll tell you that Anandam, Bhutani Jayande, that Anandam, happiness will come, that in the principle of the Upanishad says that Anandam is your nature, Anandam is your state, Anandam is everything. Upanishads keeps repeating that again and again. Because liberation or shanti or anandam or happiness is a natural thing in the soul. Those Upanishads are only concerned about that. It is in the Upanishads, you will see there in the Taittiriya Upanishad. This statement is very nicely put it together. It says, Anandadweva khalimani bhutani jayande. Anandeva jatani jivandi. Anandam prayantyat abhivishandihi. Saisha bhargavi varuni vidya. When Bhrigu went to Varuna, Varuna is imparting this knowledge to Bhrigu. Bhrigu was told to seek for the Brahman, exactly like in the Taittiriya Upanishad, in the Chandogya Upanishad. Like Satyagama was sent to find out himself what the truth is. Similarly, Bhrigu was also asked by Varuna to go and find out what is the truth. So he goes and he comes back reporting that Annam, I am Annam. Varuna says, no, go back and think about, reflect on it again. Then he says, Annamayam, Pranamayam. I am Prana, and he comes back. He says, no, go back and report yourself. Till you reach the Ananda state, he keeps on sending him back to the forest. Remember this? We talked about from Taittiriya Upanishad. So Varuna says to Bhrigu, go back. He won't say to him what it is. This is the interesting thing. You find out yourself. So in other words, spiritual education is like that. It's not that you give all the information. Never any information is given. from inside through contemplation, reflection, hearing, it should come from inside. The soul by nature has full of bliss knowledge. Only thing is that ajnanam should go from inside. That's all. Then all the knowledge is there. It is not based on information based. That's what I'm saying. Spiritual realization is not based on information based. Or it is not based on information what you collect. It's not information technology cannot help you very much there. IT has not much. They don't require IT people there. IT is not wanted there. Information is for the material world. It's information business, isn't it? So Bhrigu comes back after saying to him that, oh, I'm realized it's pranam that's happening everywhere. He says, no, go back, find out again. Then after many months of contemplation, he comes back and says, oh, it's the mind, he says. Says, no, go back. So first annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam. Then he comes back with reporting, vijnanam, knowledge. Varuna says, no, go back again. Then he comes back, he says, it's anandam, anandamayam. So when that anandam comes, he says, anandadeva khalimani bhutani jayande. It is in anandam that all the souls are situated. All the souls are situated. That means, Bhrigu realized at that time that anandam is my nature, not annam, not pranamayam, not manomayam, not vijnanamayam, it's anandamayam. Then he says, anandena jadani jivanti. It is in anandam all the souls are. It is in anandam they are born. It is anandam they live. And anandam prayanti abhisam vishandidi. They will always continue to exist in anandam, says here. Then establish in the cavity of the heart. and he says here that sa evam veda pratitishtadi. He is situated in the proper knowledge of it. Saisha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. Varuna taught Bhrigu in this way, this knowledge. Parame Vyoma Pratishtidaha Saya Evam Veda Pratishtadi. Annavan Annavan Ado Bhavadi. And after realizing that anandam or blissful nature of the soul, he is saying that he started realizing what is annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam and all that. So the Vedas are saying this, that ananda mimamsa, it is called, Veda mimamsa. What is the source of this creation and where do we stand and where do we eventually dissolve ourselves? And so originally he answered that what is the source? Prapancha means this creation. What's the source? Bhrigu says something to him that annam, it is from the food that this world is surviving, existing, he said. And where does the creation sustains? It's in the food. And where does it go? It dissolves into the same thing, he said. So initially it all matter. First he started with the matter, which is annam. Annam is matter, isn't it? Then it slowly moved on to energy, that is pranam. By then it has come to energy. And then it moved a little bit further and it came to the mind, more subtle level. So subtle and subtle and subtle it kept going. And ultimately he said it is anandam, bliss. It is in bliss, everything is born and everything is live in that bliss. And all the movements in this world is inquiring after that anandam. And it is at anandam everything finally dissolves. Finally dissolves also. I know all these words may look a little bit difficult to comprehend. But still, with a limited way, if we keep listening to and thinking about it, you can see that Shastram is telling us that subtle level, everything is happening. It's not on the gross level, everything happens. We keep on becoming grosser and grosser in our life. We will lose that subtlety. And we'll never be able to get to the truth. And it is this grossness is our ignorance. It's called ajnanam. So Shastram is only there to remove this ajnanam. When ajnanam goes away, the subtlety gets better. The subtle understanding, subtle realizations will come. So one hand, by nature, we are ananda swarupi. Anandam is our nature. And distress, what we experience is only a dress in a drama. Distress is only a dress in the drama. Just like when you are playing your drama, you have to experience that dress, isn't it? So, quite often when you go to very highly realized personality souls, jnanis or great devotees, people go to them, isn't it? When they are tired in material life, with distressed in material life, with various problems in life and various miseries of life, when they are afflicted, they'll either go to astrologer to looking for a solution there, when it's going to go away, or if it is very deep distress, they will come to go to a spiritual personality, very advanced in spiritual life or realized. So once it so happened, somebody went to Ramdas in that way. Swami Ramdas was like a great soul at that time. And Ramdas was told, he spoke all his problems to him. This person who had come to tell him all his problems in his life, family problems, financial problems, and you know, we know all these kind of problems, what we all have. So he says all these problems to Ramdas. So he thought Ramdas is going to feel compassion for him, and he will also join him in his distress. But instead, Ramdas, when he heard everything, he just laughed at him. Can you imagine? You go to someone with all your problems and he laughs at you. How you will feel? You want somebody to share your... That's what we say in this world, isn't it? We say, that's why we got married also, to share your burden of misery. Only thing is, we added two miseries together and the rest added extra load on the back and suffer from that. But anyway, so this person comes to Ramdas and says to Ramdas, to Swamiji, I am in terrible distress, I've got all kinds of problems. We won't discuss the problems here, his problems anyway. So the problems all he has reported, Ramdas very nicely heard everything and he started laughing, seeing all these things. So this man is getting more upset that he's not listening to any of my problems. So he says here, the person who has come is also Ram. So Ramdas is saying to Ram, Ram, you cannot deceive me anymore. Because he is talking to the soul. If Ramdas also joins him with his bodily identity and mental problems and physical problems and all that, then what's the point in coming to Ramdas? You may as well go to somebody else. So Ramdas' point was, you cannot deceive me anymore. He kept telling this to him, and suddenly that person got that spark, because it was coming from a person who had that realization. It hit him. And he started also laughing with him. The man who has come with all the problems. So when we go to these personalities, that I have got this distress and all other problems of life, when a spiritually personality wakes you up, that actually there is no distress. The distress is all in the mind and in the world, not in you. And that realization comes that they can see through someone like that. All the time they are fixed in that state. So this is called in Upanishads, it's called Amrita Drishti. Amrita Drishti means that when they meet someone, no matter who it is, they can only see that spiritual spark inside and the nature of the soul inside. Because nature of the soul is not to feel distressed. So if somebody comes and says to them that I'm feeling distressed, I'm feeling depressed and all that, they cannot take it very seriously, because they know inside you there is a soul which is full of happiness and bliss. Happiness and bliss. So how can they accept your external mental and physical disturbances and problems? So naturally what we have to realize here is that the knowledge of the soul comes from this acceptance of the reality and not by sadhana. Not by sadhana. You can perform sadhana for a long period of time, but sadhana alone is not sufficient. Along with that, this tattvajnanam of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is necessary. Because when you are executing sadhana, if you don't know what I am doing the sadhana for, what is the point, isn't it? On one hand, tattvajnanam is necessary, but on the other side, sadhana cannot be avoided. Sadhana is necessary. But while executing sadhana, if it is done with this understanding that inside me the nature of the soul is blissful happiness and freedom from all other these things, that that then it will work. Then it will work. Because a person, say for example, a person who has very deep realization inside, realization of what? Of the miseries of this world. And he has decided, I have nothing to do with this world. I don't want any connection with this world. People come to that conclusion sometimes, isn't it? Due to inside realization, they come to that. They decide that, I don't want any... Normally we live in this world till tolerate everything. Why? Because there is family life, there is society. And in that we somehow thinking that, let me get on with life. In that way we live here. But circumstances can happen that a person may come to decide, that is when you leave home and walk away from one day, everything. Leave everything and walk away from that, isn't it? Then you have no value for anything in this world because you have seen the nature of this world. So if such a person, he approaches a spiritual master at that stage, that spiritual master is not telling him that I'll accept you as a disciple, that all he has to say is this, Guru is seeing him that there is nothing separated from the soul. So it is at that time, if the spiritual master's realization, with the realized state, when that spiritual master, just by looking at that person alone, he can come to a realized platform. Or in other words, self-realization can happen to him. The very vision can itself, self-knowledge, that powerful is that eyes of that realized soul. This has happened in the history many times. It's not that somehow or the other, due to their previous vasanas from previous life, plus added to that, the detachment they have created in this world, renunciation from this world, they have become completely matured, pakvam, fully ready for receiving the knowledge, that instruction of the tattvam. And in that state, they meet a self-realized soul. And at that time, no communication happens between the two. He just sees him, and by the very nature of that, the vision from that realized soul, immediately wakes up that truth inside him. So powerful, forceful it is. So normally you can see that in this world, even a material life, in our material life, suppose someone looks at you in anger, or in any dvesham or hate, how it has creates a vibration inside us, isn't it? When somebody looks at us in anger or hate, it creates some vibration. You don't have to even speak anything. Just a look is sufficient. In the same way, it can happen in spiritual life also. When we are ready inside, free, completely pure inside, means that no chitavritti, mind has completely gone, fully detached from this world, renunciation has come to a very high degree, and we have happened to see a personality at that time who sees our state of mind, by his very look alone, it can create a big realization in us. So that is the very nature of that. So many people have, if you look into many great personalities in their life, in spiritual life, you will see how they had experienced that the penetrating vision, they call it, the penetrating vision. So therefore, because it is like that, what they say is that when we have that renunciation of vairagyam, or if you have that intention, intense desire inside for getting out of this cycle of birth and death, if you have come to that point, that is the time, if ever you happen to meet a great personality, even if you talk to them politics or any other matter in this world, by chance if you happen to speak to them, even that is better than in a state where you are sitting with a lot of materialistic understanding inside and studying Bhagavad Gita in the hand. So subtle is the way spiritual life works. So subtly see the way spiritual life works. So you don't have to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam from them. But because they are in that state of realization, and inside you, if you have that total renunciation, detachment from this world, and you have decided to keep out of this world, to that extent you have free yourself from here, then even if you are in their association, and even if you happen to talk about something which is not spiritual, politics or anything, even if you do happen to speak about that, that association with them is more beneficial than the studying somewhere in a classroom, sitting and with all materialistic thoughts inside, trying to develop Bhagavad Gita inside. That is the conclusion from the method. Or in other words, to go to a materialistic person and learning Bhagavad Gita from him, better than that is to go to a realized soul and talking to him material things. How conflicting this is, isn't it? We think that going to someone and learning Bhagavad Gita, but he is a materialist. Materialist means he has no knowledge of the soul, he is all focused on the body and he is doing things for his material existence. If somebody is doing things for his own material existence and they are teaching Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, rather than going and learning from him Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, it is better to be in the association of a great soul who has realized the truth. Because, and even if you speak to him materialistic topics, you are better situated. Because there is a chance there, due to that association, some spiritual thoughts will develop inside, whereas it will never happen in the association of the materialistic person who is busy with the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. So, because why? Sannidhyam. That is called Sannidhyam. Sannidhyam means their presence. The presence is so powerful of those people. So they are carrying a force. They carry a force which is not coming from the mind. It's not coming from the mind. So in the normal material world, we contact with this material world in a physical level or on a mental platform, isn't it? On a mental level, we keep the contact with this world. So satsangam is not through the body or the mind. Satsangam is not through the body or the mind. Satsangam is through the chit shakti, what we refer to as chit shakti, or because it's beyond the body and beyond the mind. If you look into Lalita Sahasranamam, there is a statement there about this. Actually, this Lalita Sahasranam is very famous for this only, that the many devotees of Devi, Sri Parvati, because it is her material nature, she is in control, isn't it? It is centered around her. It mentions there, Chitshakti Chedana Rupa Jadashakti Jadalmiya. Her definition is mentioned there. 1,000 names given to her. Chitshakti Chedana Rupa Jadashakti Jadalmiya. It says like that. So what is that? What does that mean? It means she is Chitshakti also. Chitshakti, whom we refer as Radharani. She is Radharani. So Chitshakti or Radharani, Chaitana Rupam, in the form of consciousness present inside. And she is also present in Sri Parvati's form, Jadashakti Jadalmiga. Jadashakti means dead matter. She manifests in this world as dead matter and Jadalmiga. And Jadam's nature and qualities are present in there, and Chitshakti inside us with Chetana. Chetana means consciousness, living force inside. Chitshakti, Chetana Rupa, Jadashakti, Jadalmiga. So, one who is completely in the Chitshakti, he is a Jnani. One who is in the Jadashakti, he is the materialist, conditioned materialist, is referred to. Now, you are talking about people categorizing in this way. Those who are in the Chitshakti, they are the Jnani. Those who are in the Jadashakti, that is the conditioned personality. So Chitshakti, one who is experienced Chitshakti or the Jnani, their presence is more powerful than the person who is in the Jadashakti. That means which is in the materialist. Even seeing them is sufficient. That's what it says. Even seeing them is sufficient. Because the thing that they are seeing is Chitshakti. They are in the Chitshakti, Chit potency. So we can see here that the vastu they are seeing is different than the vastu what we are seeing. One who is in the Jadashakti, he sees the matter. One who is in the Chitshakti, he sees the soul. So so this is in this kind of things have happened, this kind of experiences have happened many times when great personalities were present. when self-realized souls, when they were present in this world, those who have come to visit them and they had to discuss with them, they come and sat there, but in their very presence they have experienced this realization. So you can see here that the Jnana Vijnana Yoga, when Krishna is going to talk about that, Krishna says here that this purpose of this in this seventh chapter, you will see a word there, Yayedam Dharyate Jagat. That Yayedam Dharyate Jagat. If you look into that Bhagavad Gita verses in the about while discussing about this chapter 7, verse number is 5. Verse number 5. Apareyam Itastvanyam. We'll come to that verse later. But just to understand this, Abhareyam Idastvanyam Prakritim Vidhime Param Jivabhudam Mahabaho Yeyedam Dharyade Jagat. That Yeyedam Dharyade Jagat. That what is this Yeyedam Dharyade Jagat? If you look at the translation, who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe, that's all it says there, isn't it? Literary translation is only that much. Translation is only that much. It is sustaining the universe. What does that mean? When we say that, it's a very subtle discussion that's happening there. Krishna is saying, Jivabhudam Mahabaho Yeyedam Dharyade Jagat. Yeyedam Dharyade Jagat. The Yeyedam Dharyade Jagat. In other words, that the Jivabhudam, Krishna talks about Jivabhudam. This Jivabhudam is an interesting word. It comes later on also. Mamaivamsho Jivaloge Jivabhuda Sanatana. Manashashtan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshadi. You know, that's another verse later. And the 8th chapter or something it comes. So, what is Jiva? This question comes, isn't it? What is Jiva? I know it is always a question in everybody's mind. Are we the same as Krishna or are we separate from Krishna? Everybody asks this question. If you say you are same as Krishna, then they will get upset with you. Yeah. If you say you are separate from Krishna, some people will think that there is something somewhere else spoken in a different way. In Bhagavatam, if you look at this, you will see it's spoken both ways. In some places it's spoken one and some places it's spoken different. So how do we understand that? What will keep us in peace about it, in other words? So the thing is this, Jiva Bhudam, it's a word with which Vedavyasas put in a lot of difficulty to everybody, that word. Jiva Bhudam is, in one way to say Jiva Bhudam is, the soul which has become Jiva. That meaning is also there, Jiva Bhudam. That means it has transformed itself into Jiva. Soul is one as far as the Bhagavad Gita also says that. So otherwise you cannot have Sarvabhuta Hridayam if we are all separate. Soul cannot be broken, isn't it? It cannot be broken into pieces. So soul exists as one. It transforms into Jiva and that's where we are, become as Jivas due to conditioning. Or how it has happened, if you ask, that you have to answer later. That we'll see later. How did this happen? But it's the same soul that is transformed into Jiva and therefore individual Jivas have come about. Like that. You know, this question is discussed in the origin of the soul. It's always a controversial issue, isn't it? One devotee says this is the right thing, another devotee says something else, and always debating about that is going on. The other way to accept it is that Jiva is always separate from Krishna. Always, Krishna says, I always existed, you also existed all the time. Whether you are one or separate, that statement is still true. Always existence is there, that nobody is denying that. But whether we existed as separate or not, that Krishna has not spoken there also in the second chapter. So, this issue, Yayedam Dharyate Jagat, Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho, so Dvaitis will consider Jiva is always separate. Jiva is always separate. Advaiti will always say that Jiva is always one with one with Krishna. In other words, one with the soul, super soul. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's not an issue. We have to rack our nerves at this moment in time, because that's an issue which Krishna will reveal himself to us, what he is at the right time when it comes to that. So here, the point is that when this Yadam Dhairini Jagat you're talking about, when this ignorance in us leaves, when the ignorance in us leaves, immediately we should experience Purna Anubhavam, Purna Anandam, or happiness must come to us. Then, so Salsangam is only to remind us about our Purnata, or complete perfection. That's all Salsangam is for. And by Krishna's mercy also, that's what happens. That is where Krishna's mercy comes. Krishna's mercy comes. When our attention falls into that, what my pure identity is, and if you keep on thinking, amazed by, what is this I am talking about, me, I am. I'm always talking about, who is this I? And if it becomes a matter of matter on which you are concerned about, to start thinking about, what is this me? I'm talking about me. So, at that point, you can see that this me or my identity is very close to my existence, isn't it? That it is that existence that makes me always conscious of this thought of me in me, isn't it? I think about me. Why? Because I'm existing. And it is then based on that all the other questions are coming from there. Who am I? And what is the nature of this existence? Aham, 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 I'm talking about. So, that in this verse, Yayedam Dharide Jagat, this whole Yayedam Dharide Jagat, this is important, that whole this creation or universe, it is existing on that awareness. It's existing on that awareness. And because it is there, that awareness is there, the eye is able to see, the nose is able to smell, the tongue is able to taste, the ears are able to hear, and the skin is able to touch. All these things. And that is that awareness. And that is that word, Eyedam Dharide Jagat. That's a very tricky word there. Krishna has put that in. Vedavyasa has spoken there. Eyedam Dharide Jagat. In other words, it is only due to the presence of this awareness in us, or consciousness in us, that this world is experienced. And it is that consciousness that is making us aware of this creation. That is why it's called, it is sustaining the world. If this consciousness is not inside, which is from the soul, or in other words, this satas, our existence, the chit shakti in us, if it is not functioning, this world doesn't exist. So, yayedam dharide jagat, Krishna says there, isn't it? And are sustaining the universe. That is what is that sustaining means. Sustaining is not that like Hercules is holding the universe like that. We are all physically holding this world. No. It is this consciousness inside us, which is by very nature is awareness of our existence. It is that same awareness is making us aware of the creation also. Without which the universe awareness of this creation won't exist in us. If that awareness was not there, this creation won't exist in us. So you can see that connection between the two. We'll discuss it on Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.